Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Hello. How are ya? Great. Good to see you, beautiful people. You ever find yourself getting mad when things don't go right? Like when your mic doesn't work the first time? Yeah. The Lord knows. You ever find yourselves getting mad when things don't go the way you think they should? Yeah. Right? Like your spouse that loads the dishwasher the wrong way. So irritating. You have to go back and fix it. How about when your kid makes their bed, but they don't do it right? How about when I went to the restroom between services? I went backstage to the green room. Worship team, I'm looking at you. You know why? You left the seat up. Who does that? That's not right. Boys, it wasn't Joe. Come on. How about when you're driving up Interstate 57, Sullivan, you do this often, and there's that slow car in the left-hand lane. Doesn't that just make you, you know why? It's the passing lane. Get out of the way, man. That's the passing lane. Don't drive slow there. If you struggle with the need for things to be right, like I do, you too might be struggling with control. Control, yee. We're gonna talk about control. Now, it's really fun for me because I totally suffer with control, and it's a weed that pops up in my life all over the place. And in this series called Rooted, we're talking about how we can have healthy relationships in a kind of shallow world. And so Diane launched the series beautifully a couple weeks ago, talking about how we can be rooted in the love of Jesus, which means we're rooted in his death and we're rooted in his life. And last week, my friend Clay did an awesome job talking about the weed of competition, how it comes up. And, you know, we're called to celebrate people, not compete with them, right? And today, we're talking about the weed of control. And it's going to be exciting. Are you ready? Let's pray. Let's thank Jesus for being with us. Father, I love that you love us. Makes it so much easier. And we thank you that you're in this place with us. So Holy Spirit, do what you want to do today. This day is yours. We love you. Amen. Well, I think everyone would say we want to live in healthy relationships with other people, right? We want that. But the problem is these weeds come along and they start to choke out any health that we have. And again, we're going to be talking about this weed of control. And very rarely do people admit, like, yes, I'm a controlling person, right? You might hear like, oh, I'm a total control freak and try to like laugh it off. Eh, it's not funny. Like, control is not good. Sometimes though, control is very, very subtle. Control loves to mask itself, and control looks like manipulation, looks like guilt trips, looks like micromanagement, little passive-aggressive behavior. That's all called control. And I just want to say, before we get too far into this, control is like this huge, broad topic, and we're not going to be talking about all the ways we experience control. We're going to be talking about control in the context of our everyday, healthy relationships. So I'm not talking about control that's involved in abuse. I'm not talking about control that, you know, happens with dictators or tyrants or systemic control, things like racism or sexism or slavery. Those are all control. It's like, we got to put that to the side while we talk about this today because it's a totally different experience. As we talk about control in the context of our everyday healthy relationships, okay? Those things matter. I just won't have time in this message. So this weed of control, it's super subtle, and it pops up all over the place, but so many times we don't even recognize that's what it is. But here's the root of control. Control says, I'm right, so you're going to do what I tell you to do. And it's not always overt. It's usually very subtle. The need to be in control stems from the need to make things right or to make perceived wrong things right, right? It always involves your perception of reality. And I struggle with control. I have this huge justice streak in me. Like, God has just made me one who wants to be a voice for the marginalized and to help people. You know, when wrong things are wrong, I've got to make them right. It's innate. Like, I really can't help myself. And my knower is, like, pretty good. I'm right a lot. Ask my husband. He'll tell you. I'm right a lot. The problem is, when I insert myself into a situation or with a person and I try to control it, I am declaring, I'm right, you're wrong. Control cannot exist in healthy relationships. Where does control come from? Why do we feel this need to control? We're going to take it all the way back to the garden, back to Genesis chapter 3. Here's what happens. I like to visualize. I'm a visual person, so I like to think about and feel, like, what was it like before sin entered the world? What did that feel like? And you see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with the Lord, and they are in this perfectly unhindered relationship with the Father. Right? They have everything they need. They're working with the Lord. They are co-creating. They're naming the animals. They have food and drink. And the Lord says, you have everything you need. You're in full love. Here's one thing. I don't want you to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. If you eat from that tree, you will surely die. And you know what? They believed him. They trusted him. They're like, sure, God's for me. I believe him. And everything is well and good until the crafty serpent comes along and he starts having a conversation with Eve. So let's pick up on this conversation in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. The serpent told the woman, Eve, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from the tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she'd get out of it, she'd know everything. Ding, ding, ding. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate it. Control says, I know everything. Control says, I know better than you. Control says, I'm right, you're wrong, and it takes matters into its own hands. That's what control is. And Eve sinned because she chose to pursue control rather than just resting in trust and in a healthy relationship with the Lord. And when she sinned, that moment that sin entered humanity, it did so through the relational weed of control. She pursued control, and it put a splinter between her and the Lord. They had everything they needed, but Eve still felt this need to grasp after control. Why? What's the root? Fear. Fear's the root. And you think, eat, like, what did she have to be afraid of? What was the fear? She thought the Lord was holding out on her. Her fear was that she was missing out. Eve was like the mother of FOMO. You young people know what FOMO is. You tell them. Fear of missing out. That's what she had. She thought she was going to be left out. She thought God was holding out on her. She was rooted in fear. And so it led her to control. The driver of control is fear. You struggle with control, I guarantee it's rooted in fear. And you can say, like, oh, I don't struggle with control. What do you fear? What do you fear? Are you afraid that you'll get a life-threatening illness? Are you afraid you'll never get married? Or that you'll never be able to have children? Do you fear rejection? Are you afraid that you've chosen the wrong career? Are you fearful that something bad's going to happen to your kids? Or that they're going to disappoint you? Or that you have disappointed your parents? Or disappointed the Lord? What do you fear? Because what you fear ends up being the thing you try to control. And it's an exhausting life you'll live. You'll try to protect your kids at all costs. I will protect them. Nothing bad will happen to them. Or I will control every morsel of food that goes into my body, and I will never miss a workout. Why? I'm in control of my health. I'm in control. The things you fear become an obsession, and they become a distraction. And all your energy goes into controlling the thing you fear the most. Fear drives us to control. And so I was preparing this message, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was like, but Lord, I don't struggle with control. Like, this is going to be so hard. How am I going to share about this thing that I don't know? He'll show you if you ask, by the way. So I was like, Lord, okay, so I don't feel like I struggle with control. Like, I'm not a micromanager. I love to empower people. I love creativity. I love seeing people be everything that they were meant to be. So I don't feel like I struggle with control in that sense. But when I was, like, digging up this thing, I was like, well, what do you fear? Kind of takes me back to my childhood. You'll all go back. You know, we're all kind of products of our past, of our experiences. And here's where my control comes in. The thing I'm afraid of the most is that you'll be unreliable. That's what I fear. Here's why. I grew up in a home. My parents were divorced. My mom ended up with a chronic illness. And how that played out in my life was she was unreliable. Honey, don't worry. I'll wash your uniform. It'll be ready for the game tomorrow. She got sick. She didn't do it. Don't worry, I'm going to get groceries tomorrow, it's fine. She got sick, didn't do it. And the lie I began to believe was that you're not going to show up, so I have to do it myself. That's where I struggle with control, and it it still happens today. If I don't trust you, I don't let you in. If I don't think you're going to be reliable, I just keep you right here. Reliability is huge to me. That's where my control comes out. Now, once you're in, oh, you have like full freedom, full access. But man, if I don't know if you're reliable, I keep you at an arm's length. That's where I struggle with control, because I fear that you're going to let me down. What does fear look like in your life? Where are you trying to control? Because here's the truth. I'm going to let you in on a big secret. Control is an illusion. Just let it simmer. Think about it. Think about anything you've been in control of. Maybe you run a business. Maybe you led a project for your class. Maybe you are a mom and you are in charge of your home. You might be the one in charge, but let me ask, are you in control? Every parent in here will say, wrong, not in control. You might be in charge, but controlling things, totally different beast. You know why? You can't make people do stuff. I've tried all the things. Doesn't work. You can't make people think a certain way. You can't make them behave a certain way. You cannot control people. And you know what? People can't control you. You can't tell me how to feel. You can't tell me what to do. At the end of the day, you can influence. You can do all those things. You cannot control. Control is an illusion. Control says you know everything. No, you don't. And so it's like this dangled carrot the enemy like pulls out, like he did with Eve, like, oh, if you get this, you'll know everything. And he keeps us distracted, and we're trying to run after something that doesn't even exist. What a waste of a life. Let it go. You don't have control, but you do have a choice. You don't have control, you have a choice. And you can make good choices through Holy Spirit. Amen. Think about for a minute about your relationship with the Lord. How many people think God is in control? God is in control. Don't just wait. I should have phrased it differently. We say it. Church people, we say it all the time. God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. Here's the truth. It's nowhere in Scripture. Bomb drop. I know. Go look. Read your Bibles. You'll see. Church people, we say it all the time. Don't worry. God's in control. God's in control. God is not in control. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. He is absolutely sovereign, all-powerful, absolutely in charge, but he lays down his ability to control people because he loves us. If he controlled us, what would we be? Robots? Little yes men and women just doing exactly what he told us to do? No, he doesn't want robots. He wants sons and daughters. That's different. Family's different than robots. God wanted a family. And so what happens when you're in this relationship with God is you have this beautiful thing called choice. There's the freedom to choose. He doesn't make you be in relationship with him. He doesn't make you obey him. He loves you. And where love is present, control cannot be. They cannot coexist. Because if there's control, there's no freedom of choice. And if there's no freedom of choice, there's no love. Amen? Okay. This series, we're looking at the life of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is just a beautiful example of us. So we want to look at his life and how he interacted with people so we can learn how to do this better. We want healthy relationships. And what I love about Jesus is he had all those relationships that we have, right? He has a mom and dad. He's got some siblings that probably annoyed him. He has, you know, coworkers and neighbors. And he hung out with the nobodies that nobody liked. And he hung out with the churchy people. And the churchy people, the Pharisees, here's the deal. They were very concerned with being right. Control says, I'm right. They were very concerned with being right. So what did they do? Learn the law. I will know the law front and back. I love the law. I will do all the things the law says, and I will make sure you do everything that the law says. I love the law. It's exhausting. We're going to pick up on a conversation between Jesus and these church people here in Matthew 22. These are the Pharisees. And here's what it says in verse 35. It says, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap Jesus with this question. Because they were trying to trip him up, too. They didn't think he followed the law. Cool. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. And what he's telling the churchy people here in this moment is like, look, guys, I know you love the law. I know you just want to be right. I know you just want to be in control. It doesn't exist. But if you want to always do the right thing, love. You want to know that you're always right? Love. Love God and love people. If you do these two things, you'll never have to worry about one other law that exists. Love is the answer in every situation. Love people. Love them. And the problem is we crave law. We crave rules. We're like, well, just give me the Ten Commandments. Make it black and white. Make sure that I know that I'm right. Why? We're afraid of real relationship. We don't know how to just rest in the fact that Jesus has already made us right, so we try to be right. Well, I'll just follow the rules. Give me that checklist. And you know what? While I'm at it, I'm going to make sure you're following the rules too. Who does that sound like? The Pharisees, the church people. We just want control. Control is an illusion, and it doesn't exist in healthy relationships. We can't operate that way. We have to love people. So what do we do in these moments where we feel this need to control? Because it's going to rise up in you, right? Oh, this justice streak in me. They left the toilet seat up. What are we going to do? I'm going to tell them, actually, but it's a whole thing. I actually just put it down. What do we do when situations feel so wrong and we have this need to make it right? Scripture says we're not to control. Here's what we're to do. 1 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Everybody say self-control. Control is an illusion, but self-control, empowered by the Spirit, that's the solution in every situation. What do you do when someone wrongs you? You feel this thing come up in you, you're like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. What tools does the Spirit give us? Power and love and self-control. You know that love changes atmospheres? No, love changes atmospheres. Your life changed because the love of Jesus compelled you to be different. Love is the only thing that will change people. You can tell them until they're blue in the face, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. You can tell them everything you want. People will never grow where they're just informed. They got to be loved. Okay? We got to love people. You can tell them all that, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Love them. That's what's going to change the environment. Love people. Love changes atmospheres, and it's what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say, tell them all the ways they're wrong. He didn't say, get on Facebook, blow that thing up. Without relationship, you better be doing none of that. Love people. That's the command. Love. Love. Now, some of you are sitting here today, and you're like, but Leah, sometimes the most loving thing I can do is tell people that they're blowing their life up. No, here's the problem. We actually care about people, and we want to make things better. And so we want to say that sin in your life, that's destroying you. We have to be rooted in love. But it never says tell them all the things they're doing wrong. Love never says, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. We're not supposed to tell people what to do. We're supposed to tell them who they are. This is what Jesus modeled. Don't give them a list of do's and don'ts and black and white and up and down. Tell them who they are. You're struggling with someone? Call out the gold. Someone's off track? Love compels us. Not rules, not law, love. Listen, I have a lot of opportunities to practice this love. There's these little people that live in my home. They just don't leave. For 8 years now, they've just been around. Cohen and Claire and Gia. And here's the deal. I'm in charge of my house. I'm not in control because that's true. My job is to teach them important things. I want to teach them to love well. I want to teach them to eat their vegetables and stay active and do all the things. I want them to have a good life. And I don't want them to live outside God's best plan for their life. And the problem is, they have this beautiful thing that the Lord has given them. Do you know what it's called? Choice. And they don't do what I tell them to do. Is it annoying? Yes. Drives me crazy. I'm like, can't you just, like, where are these lovely little people that are supposed to be being raised by me and my husband? Like, where are you? You're in there somewhere. So what happens when they're freaking out and they're being mean and they're beating up on each other and taking toys and wah, 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 wah. I have that little kid's season. It's just always chaotic. What do I do in those moments? Did you guys see the movie Peter Rabbit? Okay, if you haven't, I actually don't like kids' movies. This one's cute. Peter Rabbit. So they're talking about the rabbits, and they say, when the rabbits apologize, and let me just say this. I looked this up because I thought, boy, is this true? I think it's fictitious, but you have to go back and figure it out. When rabbits apologize, they go forehead to forehead. Now, just for a moment, let this breathe. When my kids are losing their stuff, and they're being mean, and they're freaking out, there's a fly. When they're being just not behaving right, they're not right, and I want to control it, first thing I have to do, get on their level. You have a problem with someone, don't tell them from up there. They're messing it up, get on their level. And you get face to face with them. And when you're here, I want you to go forehead to forehead. Because something happens in that moment when you are forehead to forehead with something, it's so intimate, and it's such a knowing, and it's such a beautiful, sweet moment where you just say, I see you. And here's what I do. We don't tell them what to do. We tell them who they are. So what do we say? Oh, Gia, you love your sister. Gia, I know you're a kind girl. I know you're a good sharer. Your teacher tells me you're great at sharing. And what we start doing is calling out their identity, and we call them up, and it's less about shame on you, stop that, and like, oh, that's not who you are. That's what Jesus modeled. That's not who you are. You know, Jesus isn't into behavior modification. He's into identity restoration. He wants to tell you who you are. It's not about following all the rules and doing all the right things, although we religious people love it. Just give me the rules. Real relationships don't exist in rules. It exists in love. And there's no control when there's the freedom to love. We got to tell people who they are. You know, when we know who we are, we'll behave right. Because that's the fear. The fear is, I'm going to mess this up. I need to control it because I want to be right. You're already right. Jesus made you right. Start believing it. And we're going to tell people that they're right until they start believing it. And that shifts things. That changes behavior when we know who we are. Now, here's the tension. We want to control things because I think we love people. We want to control relationships. Like, if they're really destructing and self-destructing. And the problem is, when we talk so much about grace, we can get to this place where we're like, oh, like, ooh, do whatever you want. Like, no, God doesn't care about sin. Right? God's soft on sin. You know God cares very much about your sin. Here's why. It's not about you following the rules. It's that you're not actually trusting him enough to believe that if you do these things, it will be best for your life. You're missing out on an opportunity to have real relationship and real trust with the Father. So he's not soft on sin. He cares very much. And I had this powerful moment like a month ago. I was out at Target with my two daughters, and we went in, and I didn't even get a cart. Somebody applaud that, because like I went at no cart. I mean, like, you go in and you just got to two things, and then I left with just two things. It was a miracle day. So I'm walking to the front of the store, and I've got my little bag, and I've got Claire, and I have Gia. Here's what you got to know about Gia. She's like determined, strong-willed, smart, fast. She's going to be a great leader one day, blah, blah, blah. But right now, she's really, really hard to parent. It's really terrible. And, oh, look, she's so cute, but oof. So, we're out at the doors, getting ready to walk out the door. And Sullivan in Bloomington, you know, if you're at the Champagne Target, the minute you go out the doors, it's like, boom, traffic, right? And so I look down at Gia, and because I know my daughter, she's a runner, so I look down at her and I say, Gij, do you want me to hold your hand, or do you want me to carry you? You have two options. And I don't even get the words out of my mouth, and boom, she runs out the door. There have been few times in my life where I've been absolutely petrified. And it's like, Claire's going like, Mommy, Mommy. I'm like, Claire, just stay here. And I just run. I mean, traffic is coming, and I don't even stop to look. I just run after her. And here's the problem. She's so fast. And I'm like, Gia, just stop, just stop, just stop. I become the crazy mom chasing my kid around the Target parking lot. People are staring, and it's awesome. But she's so fast that it actually takes me a while to get her. Finally, she's got this long blonde hair. I just give it a little tug, because that's the thing I could reach. She's fine. And I grab her like this. And you guys, I was so mad. Like, I was overcome with this emotion where I'm like, you don't know what you're doing. And I was so mad at her, and I felt like the Father said, Leah, this is exactly how I feel about you. You're running around, and you don't even know what you're doing. You have no idea the consequences of your action. And I'm saying to you, do you want me to hold your hand or do you want me to carry you? Because you can't run out these doors. And the problem is we think sin is like this do's, don'ts, do's, don'ts. He says this is best for your life. This is what's best for your life. Start leaning in. It's not about a checklist. You think I want to shop with like a checklist at Target of things my kids have to do? No. I want them to trust me. I want them to trust that I love you enough. I don't want you to get run over by a car. And the problem is when we say we know best, we are declaring, I'm in control. I do what I want. I'm right. No, you're not. You're running into traffic, and it's going to jack your life up. Pause. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Let him show you the better way. The better way is grab the hand of Jesus. Let him pick you up and carry you when you need to be carried. Don't run on your own. Don't bust out the doors thinking you know best. That's good. We need the Lord. We need relationship. We are not in control. We can't control other people. Is it painful for me to watch my kids make decisions that are like destructive? Oh, some of you have parented for a long time and you have seen your kids walk away or you from Jesus or you've seen them make destructive decisions, and I can't imagine that kind of pain. That's a deep level pain that only Jesus knows. I was talking with a woman who's raised five kids, five adult kids now, and I'm like, oh, preschoolers, you know. And she's like, oh, Leah, I'd take those days any day. You know what's hard? Adult kids who are making real grown-up decisions and their life is changing because of it. That's hard. We can't just put them in time out anymore. We got to, like, love them to be where they need to be. But love changes atmospheres. We can't control people. We can only love them. What has the Lord given us? Self-control. And you know, if Holy Spirit is in you and you walk into a situation, he'll help you make it right. But it happens through love, not through control. I think we desire control in relationships because we really believe we're right. We want to be right. We want to do the right thing so that things go right. But control just doesn't exist. And here's the problem. I think a lot of times we try to control out of preference. It's not a sin issue. It's a preference. What do I mean? What does it look like to control out of preference? My husband, Ben, never lets me do the laundry. Says I don't do it right. How do you do it wrong? They come out clean. I don't know what the problem is, but fine. By all means, babe, control that. Fine. People were trying to talk him out of it, like help him with his issue of control. I'm like, no. Let him stay. He can keep that one. It's fine. He can stay with that. Maybe you don't like the career that your adult child has chosen because you don't think they'll have the quality of life that you want. That's a preference. Maybe you don't like how people dress or the way they do their hair. Get over it. That's a preference. That's not sin. It's a preference. We don't need to control out of preference. We are called to love. Sometimes we see people making destructive decisions, and we just want to get in there and help. Your motive is good, but check your heart. Make sure you're rooted in the love of Jesus. And you can't tell them what to do, but you can tell them who they are. Love changes atmospheres. And it's so hard because we just want to do something, right? I'm a doer, man. I get it. Like, well, just let me in there. I'll fix it. We're not called to control. We're not always right. We're called to be love. Healthy relationships. These are so worth pursuing. We want to have relationships that are free from things like competition and control and all the other awesome things we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. But it comes down to a revelation from the Lord that you are not in control. You know the fruit of control? Anxiety, stress, worry, fear, fatigue. Like all these things start bubbling up. People are like, oh, I'm just stressed out. No, you're struggling with control. You think that there's a desired outcome that should be, and so you're going to try to make it happen. You can't. You do have a choice. But you have to follow Holy Spirit's lead. And so when you're in these places where you feel the need to control something, control yourself. Control your love. Control your attitude. Ask Holy Spirit to show you what you do not see. Because the enemy is coming. He knows if he can destroy relationships, he'll destroy the world. And we're fighting back, church. We're not going to let him have it. We're going to lean into healthy relationships in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Sullivan, would you stand as well? We're going to go ahead and pray as we enter into a time of worship. So, Father, I thank you that you show us how to do this well. And in all these moments where we say we just don't know how, that's okay because you do. And so we lay down our right to be right. We lay down our control. We lay down our fear. And we just welcome you to swoop in and make the wrong things right. And Father, I thank you that you're going to show us how to become love this week. You're going to give us moments, Holy Spirit, where you tell us to control our tongue. That it's not your place. Your place is to love people. So get on their level and tell them who they are. And Father, we just welcome you to be our teacher this week. And as we enter into a time of worship, Father, I just believe you're going to break off fear. The things that drive us, the fear that drives us, you're going to break that off in the name of Jesus. So we welcome you to do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. We worship you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.